I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 297.
And this is the last Sinister Sightings of 2025.
Wouldn't it have been so cool if it ended on 300?
Oh my God, right?
Okay, the first one. My aunt's haunted house. Hey ladies, it's Regina. I have another story for you from when I was younger. So I was about 6, maybe 7 years old. My aunt and my uncle moved out to the country to this really cool old house. It was a big old two-story and I loved playing on the stairs. I do remember that there was a door that you could enter from the outside of the house into the basement. Creepy. So my uncle worked the night shift. My aunt was afraid to stay by herself with their young 2-year-old son, so she asked me to spend the night with them. To say I was so excited is an understatement because my aunt was really cool and my little cousin was a lot of fun to play with. I was super excited about spending the night with my aunt. About 10 o'clock, we were watching TV in the living room and I noticed something really weird. There was a small light apparently coming from outside the window. It was so strange because it went from the top of the ceiling all the way around, maybe 5 times. Weird, right? To say that it freaked me out was an understatement. I really wanted to spend the night, but I was super scared and I didn't want to let my aunt down because she was afraid to stay by herself as well. I felt like a big traitor because I was supposed to be there helping her and I just wanted to go home and get the hell out of there. So my uncle came home about 12:30. He took me home, which was just a couple of miles. The next morning, I came back to her house, went up the stairs, and there was dried, bloody fingerprints on the wall going up the stairs. There wasn't, like, blood droplets, but bloody fingerprints streaked up the wall of the stairs. My aunt and uncle lived there for maybe another month and then moved back into town because I'm telling you, that house was super freaking haunted. A few years later, a family moved into the house. The dad was divorced and had maybe 6 kids that he was raising. I recently reached out to one of the boys that lived in that house because we became friends on Facebook, and I asked him if anything weird ever happened in that house because they lived there for probably 15 years, and it was a very large family, so one of them surely saw something strange or felt something strange. He said that he himself personally didn't remember anything strange happening that he could remember. He said he was going to reach out to his brothers and sisters and ask them if they ever experienced anything. He hasn't gotten back with me yet, so I'm guessing no one ever saw anything weird. Maybe they just didn't talk about it. Well, ladies, that's another one of my crazy, creepy stories. Love you both, and just want you to know you keep me entertained with your laughter.
Every time I hear your name, Regina, I think of Regina George.
And Regina's probably so tired of hearing that.
I know. I had to say it.
You always say the things that everybody says, you know, and I'm like, they're so tired of hearing that. You're like, but I had to say it.
Mm-hmm. And?
But did you?
Yes.
Do you love it when people sing "Oh, Donna" to you?
Sure.
You do not.
But I'm like, I mean, I get it. You have to say it. You're just mad because you ain't got nothing besides Harry Carey.
And a literal scary movie named after me.
Well, you don't like scary movies.
I'm just saying, I have something.
Well, it's spelled different too.
Okay. Well, there's no other way to spell yes, there is.
You look like the Grinch when he's changing his mind. She was like, there's no other. And she put like a finger up and everything.
Yeah, because we know somebody that spelled D-A-W-N-A. Uh-huh. And she's Donna.
Oh, God. Anyway, that was just too funny. Worth all of that lead up for that right there for me.
Well, I was the kid that always got homesick at people's houses. It definitely something I worked through in therapy because I was always scared of their dads. But I was always the kid that had to call home because I was homesick. So I totally understand that you're like, I just want to do it, but you couldn't. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Also, what the fuck were those fingerprints?
Right. Okay. The next one, Sinister Nephew. Hello, Donna and Carrie. My name is Shelby and I'm from rural Southwest Missouri. I want to thank you so much for making my days fly by with your podcast. I am so far behind, like episodes from 2022, far behind, but I'm working on getting caught up. I've been nervous to write in because my writing skills need work, but I think you both will enjoy these stories. I've always loved spooky things and love history and old cemeteries, but leave it to my sister to have the creepy kid while I get the sassy kid. It never fails. She always gets what I want. Totally kidding. I love my kiddo and I wouldn't trade her for the world, but anyway, on to the story about my creepy nephew. When my nephew Jensen was around 2, he began to talk to people who weren't there. We all thought it was really cute at first, like he had an imaginary friend. But then one day something happened that made us question who he was talking to. The entire family was having our weekly Sunday dinner at my mom's house. It's weird, I know, but we are very attached to each other. I had went and got out an old picture album from my mom's closet because I was working on digitalizing all of them. Jensen was sitting beside me and we were looking at the pictures and he suddenly started hollering, "That's Grandpa Roy." All of us stopped and looked at him wondering how in the world he knew who was in those pictures because he had never met our Grandpa Roy because he passed in 1998 and this was 2017. My sister said, "Jensen, how do you know Grandpa Roy?" Jensen looked at her with a big smile and said, "He comes to play with me. Grandpa Roy is nice." We were all a bit surprised because none of us had ever experienced anything or felt his presence, but it made us all really happy to know that he was watching over our kids. Skip forward a few months. Our sister-in-law is a teacher and she always offers to babysit our kiddos during summer break. The house that she and my brother live in is for sure haunted. I'll write more about that soon. But the kids had never really said anything about experiencing things before. At that time, my sister had to be at work at like 6 a.m., so my sister-in-law would meet her in the mornings, pick up Jensen, and take him to her house. As she was carrying him into the house from the car, he looked over her shoulder and said, "Aunt Chill, who is that lady? It looks like Aunt B. By the way, I'm Aunt B." My sister-in-law whipped around in the dark to see who was behind her, and no one was there. She told him she didn't see anyone, but hurried into the house and locked the door. A few days later, Jensen and my daughter were back at my sister-in-law's house, and they were playing on the kitchen floor while she made lunch. Jensen got up from playing and went over to shut the pantry door. She asked him why he shut the door, and he told her that he didn't like the man in there and didn't want to look at him anymore. That would have been enough for me to move, but they are braver than I am. By the time he was 4, we were starting to get used to him talking to people who weren't there and telling us stories about them. But then one day, he out of the blue told us something that threw us for a loop. My sister and brother-in-law were talking about building a chicken coop and discussing where they would put it when Jensen walked up and he said he knew how to kill a chicken. My sister said, "Oh, do you? Tell me how." Jensen proceeded to tell her that you had to grab the chicken by the neck, swing it around, and cut its head off. My sister was speechless. First of all, they had never butchered chickens, and that was really graphic for her 4-year-old. She asked him how he knew all of that, and Jensen told her that his first dad told him how to do it. My sister told him that he only had one dad. Jensen shook his little head and said, "No, mommy, I don't. I had another mommy and daddy first. My first mommy cried a lot because I was really sick. Then I died, but then Jesus sent me back to you." Needless to say, everyone was speechless. He's now 8 and he still sees things, but he doesn't remember his past life story. He can't wait for you to read his story. He and my sister both give you permission to use his name. Of course, you can use mine as well. Thank you, ladies, for keeping us laughing and creating this safe space for all of us creepsters. Creep it real and don't get scared. Love you both. Shelby from Missouri.
Okay, I think that's the first time I've heard, when it comes to a past life, them saying like, "Jesus sent me back." Like, yeah. God sent me back. Like,
yeah.
That's so interesting. But is it because, is he raised in the church? Or, you know what I mean? It'd be interesting to see, I don't know, like, would different religions, like maybe the kids who don't say who sent them back, like, are they religious and they don't know, or are they not religious and they don't know God or Jesus?
All I know is I don't want to know who the man is in that pantry.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger. Get up out of my pantry.
Don't put your cock next to my carbs, okay? Because it was a ghost cock. Don't want that. Maybe I do.
I was going to say, you wouldn't turn it down. You're like, are you incredibly toxic and have attachment issues? Cool. I'm down.
Perfect.
Just my type.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and they'd ghost me. So, yeah, pretty much. Also, thank you so much to your sister and Jensen for the permission to share his story because he's seen some things.
For real. And thank you for putting in the part because I'm always like, okay, when they get older, do they remember? So thank you for adding that tidbit. Okay, the next one. Sinister sightings. Is this whole neighborhood a thin place? I'm back again, ladies. It's your spooky gal pal Jeannie here with yet another tale about my family's creepy old 1880s farm, which is located in central Pennsylvania. My brother and I don't exactly know how to explain just why it is so weird. It's like everything that's ever lived there has left an impression, and all sorts of spooky things can and do happen there. For this reason, we call it a thin place, aka a location where the veil to the other side is very thin. I'm writing this in late September, so in honor of spooky season, I'd like to share a particularly weird story from this time of year. Now, when I previously had written in, I rambled on all about how haunted our property is, perpetually haunted, should I say. I told y'all about our weird glowing trees, roots, the scary sounds, the glowing orbs we've seen in the pastures, and even about our resident ghost who hangs out in the attic. Well, let's step back in time for this story, which happened when I was a senior in high school. So it was September 2003, close to my birthday, so I recall it well. The weather was still fairly warm, and harvest hadn't begun in our fields yet. My mom asked me to go on a quick errand with her, and me, being a stubborn teenager, just shrugged and said no thanks. My mom left, but within minutes, I noticed her pull back into the driveway. She seemed really excited. She goes, "Come on, you've got to get in the car now. Come and see this." Cue lazy, unimpressed teenager once more. "Why? What is it?" My mom, "No, can't explain it. You don't understand. You simply have to see this. I don't want to spoil it. You just have to jump in the car with me right now, and we'll just go a little down the road, and you can come right back home again. I just have to show you the most amazing thing I have ever seen." Now my interest is piqued. Curious, I dragged myself from whatever I had been doing and jumped in our shoddy Subaru. We rolled down past our farm, past the first neighbor's house a few hundred yards away, and turn left into the subdivision where the houses bordered on our cornfield. Mom is ecstatic to show me whatever this great surprise is. We stop in front of a house in the neighborhood. Nothing. It looks like an ordinary house on an ordinary street. In fact, there was even a for sale sign on the front lawn, and everything about the property seemed manicured yet abandoned. There were empty windows with no curtains and no distinct features on the place at all. She starts looking around. "Just wait," she says. "It's worth it. I swear it will be worth it." But we wait and nothing happens. "Where am I supposed to be looking exactly?" I asked. Her expression sinks. She fumbles for words. "I was here, right here, just 10 minutes ago," she says disappointedly. "There was a Halloween display here, and it was like nothing I had ever seen. It was..." Her face goes blank. Then she sternly says, "Let's go home now." My mom decided not to go on her errand that day after all, and I begged her to tell me what the heck she was talking about when she said a Halloween display. She wouldn't say a word about it. That house we were waiting at was along a little shortcut route my family often used to get to the main road. It had always been our secret zigzag path through a subdivision, and we would avoid waiting in a line at the main intersection. So we passed that house fairly regularly. It was very indistinct. Just a normal little 1980s split level in suburbia. In the days following, not once did it look occupied, yet every time my mom drove by, she would slow down, creeping past and glanced around. After many weeks of me prodding, she finally told me what she had seen on that odd day. Along the route, my mother had turned the corner and glanced at that house as she drove by. She saw a flickering projection that was running in the front yard, as if it was a cast of an old movie screen. She said it was mesmerizing and looked like an old jerky film reel was running right in the air in that front yard. She immediately interpreted it as some sort of modern Halloween decoration. So she watched in awe, not yet afraid, just amazed at the time. There was a glowing doorway in the middle of their lawn. As she told me this, her eyes were wide and she kept taking breaks. Clearly, she was rattled even just to talk about it. She explained more. The doorway seemed to be illuminated. It was glowing like a projection. And so she decided it was a projection, some sort of installation. But there was more than just a door. There were figures, shapes like people, old-timey in dress, some with dark eyes. They floated along, but were awkward, almost like they were moving too quickly. They entered the door and they just disappeared. As she told me about this, she could barely get the words out. I kept asking her, "What kind of people?" She said there were all sorts. She even described seeing a very tall cloaked figure and something that looked like shadow people. Others looked to be faintly glowing. She said they were like apparitions from the Haunted Mansion film. They projected across the lawn into the doorway and poof, gone, vanished, only to be followed by another and another after another and another. And even stranger, they all looked very flat, not like 3D projections in modern movie. They looked like 2D images, like flat paper, pictures cast by light on a thin piece of screen, except there was no screen. As she had watched it, it seemed too ludicrous to be true. Of course, it couldn't have been real, so in her mind, it had to be someone testing out some epic Halloween decoration. She assumed it was all done with projectors and lights and an invisible screen. Come trick-or-treat time, this house would be the best in the neighborhood. She was in awe as she kept watching, fixated. She looked around, trying to figure out how the hell these people were pulling this off. Surely there was a projector somewhere. She couldn't see one. That's why she was in such a rush to come back and get me and go back to see it. She wanted me to marvel at this same incredible decoration she had just experienced. I asked her if she noticed that the house wasn't even being lived in at the time, and she admitted that she hadn't noticed the for sale sign. Well, she nor any one of us ever noticed anything weird in that house ever again. It's been our secret mystery. The sort of thing we all know about as a family, but not the kind of story you can recount just to anyone. Believing in ghosts is one thing. Admitting to seeing something like this might brand you as crazy, but I believe her. Once again, that's why I love this podcast. Maybe someone else has seen some shit they can't really explain to anyone. Maybe some stories need the right listeners to truly appreciate them. So a few things to note. That house is still standing, but it's been through owner after owner. It could be because it's a smaller starter home and just old enough that families move out after a year or two to upgrade, or perhaps it could be something more sinister. Also, this happened in early 2000s. Projection decorations were not things yet, as far as I know. It could be possible for someone to do, but at that time, that wasn't a typical thing that people could just buy at Home Depot for Halloween or Christmas. Plus, I feel like Halloween decorations of today are way more elaborate than they were back in the day. Plus, it might be common to see decorations up in September today, but not so much back then. September was not spooky season yet in 2003. Most people didn't even decorate until a week or two before Halloween when I was a kid. So what the hell did my mom see? I still can hardly get her to talk about it. All the fear set in after she had witnessed it. And one more thing, just for context, this happened to be the very same street that the lady who saw our ghost cow had lived on. And further, one time, another resident on this street, their backyards border our fields. Well, that homeowner had come by the farm and checked in to meet us. She was very vague, but asked my brother, "Are you doing okay over there? I mean, that place is totally haunted." My brother said, "Yeah." She relayed that she was from the neighborhood, was psychic, and just wanted to check in case we needed anything. Well, we never saw her again either. Thanks for that, I guess. So what do you think? Is the whole neighborhood also a thin place? Jeannie.
Sounds like it.
For real? What in the what? She saw a goddamn portal.
Right? All I can picture, though, see, this is something I have to say, but when you said ludicrous, all I picture is that State Farm commercial with Ludacris. And he's like, "Why am I here?" or whatever. And it's like, actually State Farm. And he's like, "Oh.
I don't think I know that
you
one."
You don't know that one? Because you're like, "Oh my God, this is ludicrous." And he's like, "What up?" Anyway.
Yeah, that definitely felt like a portal.
Well, when Carrie was doing that and saying like, "Hey, come on, come on, come on, come on." I'm like, whatever's going to happen, it's not going to be there anymore.
Right.
Like if it's like not of this world.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. Also, God.
You damn teenager.
Well, my mom never, like, invited me to stuff like that, but that's so some shit I would do as a teenager. Like, what? I was such a bitch.
I know.
I mean, I still am sometimes, but...
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but I was unmedicated then.
Oh, Lord, don't I know. But sometimes I was like that. Even though, like, my mama was, like, my best friend, we were ride or die, sometimes it was just like, I don't want to... Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, well,
like,
you're a teenager. Your emotions and all the things.
Yeah.
Mine was usually because I needed a cigarette and I couldn't smoke in front of my parents.
Mine was probably just because I was lazy. And honestly, the more I think about this, y'all, I really think I had an issue with us being poor. Like, duh. But like, thinking about stuff like where my mom would get these like antique things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, now I would kill for that. But then it was like, oh, God, we're so poor.
Yeah. No, I get that.
You know, like, that's embarrassing, that blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, it's really not. And she made it what she could make it. And, you know, all of that. But
no, like, I totally get that.
It's so annoying. It's so stupid. And that is one thing I regret, just because I know I was like that. Like, oh, that's so stupid. Because my dad would joke with her too and call her stuff. Like, she had this one Christmas tree that she got from a yard sale. And it was an old vintage thing. But, you know, like, then I didn't appreciate it. But it was one that, like, it was made kind of like tinsel. And it was kind of like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. But if you had the things, you would, it was silver, but you would, like, project color onto it. I don't know. I never even heard of that. But of course, she didn't have that part. She just had the tree part. And my dad would call it her cemetery tree.
He also called her food prison food. And she was such a good cook.
She was.
He just was a negative Nancy.
He was. But yeah, I don't know. And so it was like, now I want to be my mom. Like, I want to have the weird stuff. I want to have, like, whatever I want it. You know what I mean?
But even now, you're just now kind of coming into that, even with your Christmas decorations and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's because I'm really coming around that it's all about, it wasn't making me happy. I just thought it was like, I'm so much better than I was back then. And it's like, no, I really wasn't. Like, I'm not, you know, like, because I don't know.
No, I get it. I think that's why I get, like, even if a clothes don't fit, I never take them out of my closet because, you know, not having a lot of money to buy them. And then also growing up plus size, like, there weren't clothes to get.
Yes.
And so it's like, no, look, I have all, or, and I even, like, my closet looks like I'm a fucking couponer because I have so many, like, deodorants and toiletries and stuff waiting, but I don't coupon. I just keep them because it's, like,
you said a couponer. I don't coupon. Maybe you didn't, but I really think you said it. I probably did.
Two different ways. It's just like caramel. Sometimes I say caramel. Sometimes I say caramel. Just kind of depends on what mood you catch me in.
I look like a couponer, but I don't coupon.
It's not a coupon.
I don't know. Apparently, we're just working out things before 2025 here. Okay, the next one. Hello, my spooky sisters. I'm just now listening to episode 285. You just got done telling the story of Dorothy and the tragedies that befell her family. I am so sorry, Dorothy, that you all had to go through that. Side note, I think the reason why we want to eat after experiencing something traumatic or tragic is because eating always makes us feel safe. As a species and biologically, humans don't typically eat when being chased by a predator or when we feel afraid, as we have to stay vigilant. So it makes sense why we tend to want to eat when experiencing hardship. It's probably one of the only normal things that we can do to bring back some semblance of stability. Please pardon the fun fact sharing. It's part of my tism. Anyhoozles, I love the two of you. I found you during the pandemic and I binged as much as I could. I'm kind of all over the place with episodes, but I've got a lot of listening under my belt. I want to thank you firstly for providing a safe place for me and so many others to just listen and be taken away for a while. Your rapport and banter makes me feel like I'm having a night in with the girls, just sharing stories, gossiping, and talking about vulgar things that older ladies talk about. I'm 40, and listen, the libido increases as you get older. Have you heard of the Quinn app? If not, please go download it and thank me later. Okay, I can tell you right now, Carrie has not. I have. Since I've started listening to you, I've bought a house, found out I'm autistic, got divorced, sold a house, found my soulmate on Tinder, and started living as my true authentic self. You've seen me through so many seasons of my life, so I find it only right to share some of that with you. I do have a lot of stories to share, but I think here's where I want to start. It was 2009, and I was really having a difficult time. I was just broken up with by my live-in boyfriend who forced me to move back in with my parents. A month after that happened, I lost my job. This was all before I learned that I was clinically depressed, so suffice to say that these life changes really took a toll on me, and I fell into a very deep, depressive episode. So deep that I stayed up all night, slept all day, barely showered, barely brushed my teeth, only ate Eggo waffles, and lost about 20 pounds. It was like this for months. Now imagine having to do all of this while being 25, living with your parents and your 22-year-old brother and 17-year-old sister. Bless them, they had no idea how the hell to help me. That's a whole other story about immigrant families and how they handle mental illness. I hated the daylight so much that I put blackout curtains in my old bedroom so I could sleep in pitch black during the day. And when the cacophony of my family living their day-to-day life was too much for me to bear, I started to sleep in our unfinished basement, concrete walls and floors on an old couch. It was cold, dark, quiet, and overall an ideal place to be if you wanted to fade into the background of the world when you felt like your existence was too much. Just a trigger warning here, there was some ideation on my part, and I thought about my life ending a lot during this time. I should probably rewind a tiny bit and say that I had experienced sleep paralysis before as a teenager a few times and hadn't in a long while before I was 25. I'm the eldest of three, so stress was a normal thing for me to experience. As you may know, stress has to live in your body somewhere when you're not actively working to deal with it. My body hated to sleep during the night, it didn't want food, and it had sleep paralysis dreams. So during this period in 2009, I had several sleep paralysis dreams. Most of them happened while I was sleeping in my old bedroom. My eyes would open and I would see the room, but I could not move or open my mouth. Normally, with sleep paralysis, you're supine, and that's usually the only way you can experience it. I'd feel like someone or something was holding me down. Sometimes I'd think or feel like something was pulling the blanket off the bed. Sometimes I'd feel like someone was shaking the bed. I had a four-post bed, so I could see the bed shaking. One time, I thought I could see a bald man with a thick black rope around his neck shaking the bed. Those were all very scary in their own right, but I'd always wake up, soaked in sweat, heavily breathing, and glad that it was over. The sleep paralysis was also a kind of reason I avoided sleeping at night, because the ghoulies can't get you in the daylight, right? 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 However, the most notable and scariest sleep paralysis dream I had was one night when I decided to sleep in the basement. Again, dark, cold, empty, save for a few random bits of furniture and the couch. It's a relatively large basement in the shape of an L, so there's lots of dark corners, even in the daytime with the tiny basement windows. It must have been sometime during October because it was starting to get really chilly and the days were shorter. I remember it must have been early evening because it was dark and I could hear my family upstairs in the kitchen moving around. I don't know why this particular day I wanted to be in the basement, but I do remember that I had spent some time crying and finally had drifted off to sleep, or what I thought was sleep. You know that feeling when you're sleeping or laying down with your eyes closed and you can feel someone standing beside you or looking at you? That's what I started to experience. Again, I can't be certain if I was asleep or awake, but from what I can remember, because depression does a number on memory, I thought I was experiencing sleep paralysis. But the weird thing was, I wasn't lying on my back. I was lying on my side, facing the open side of the couch, my arms crossed in front of me with the blanket over me. And when my eyes were open, I could see the silhouette of a man standing right in front of me. He was darker than dark, and I could tell it was a man because of the energy, and he just stood there watching me. In that moment, I couldn't move or speak. I could hear my breathing and my heart rate going up, but I could not move, and I couldn't move my eyes to look up at whoever this person was. I was afraid because something about the posture of this person made me feel like if I moved, he would move with me, but I had no idea what this person's intentions were, and it felt like it was to harm me in some way. So I stayed still, quiet, breathing hard, staring at the legs and arms of someone whose face I couldn't look at. The time ticked on, and eventually, I saw this person turn and walk away. Somehow, I fell back asleep right after that. I don't know how much longer I slept, but when I woke up, I was confused. Did I dream that? Or was I half asleep and my brother or dad came down to check on me to see if I was sleeping? And if they did, why would they just stand there in the dark and not put any lights on? Not even the one at the top of the stairs. And why just stand there and linger? As quickly as that happened, I put it to the back of my mind and left it there for years. The house we lived in didn't ever really creep me out or make me afraid. It never gave off a ghost lives here vibes. In fact, the house was actually quite new. My parents had it built in 2002 on two lots of land. The house that had been there previously was owned by an older gentleman who passed in his home from old age. When the family sold it, my parents bought it, knocked down the house to build their dream home on the two lots. So I was never afraid of being alone and in the dark of the house, even with all the dark corners. The only night I had ever been afraid of being in the dark and alone in that house was this night I had the dream or experience. 20 years later, and it's still the only night that terrifies me. To this day, I don't quite know what happened, but in the years since, I started therapy and medication for my depression and anxiety, which now I have learned were symptoms of my autism, and I started to heal all the parts of myself that needed love and nurturing. And in learning about my depression and how that changes brain chemistry and your overall frequency and vibration in the world, yes, I'm into all that woo-woo stuff. I think that night, whatever darkness that I was in, I think it attracted something equally dark. After that night, I didn't sleep in the basement again. Not until my parents remodeled it and built a bedroom that my now ex-husband and I lived in until we bought a house. After that night, I started to slowly come alive again. Eating like a normal person, sleeping better hours, started to live a little again. Perhaps that dark figure was a catalyst for change by scaring the ever-living shit out of me. I just know that I felt like if I didn't do something different, that dark figure, that shadow, would come for me again, and this time, it would take me with it. Oh Lord, I held my breath while typing this out. I never want to experience that fear and that terror ever again. I started to take my mental health seriously and eventually got help that I needed. I've heard the stories that people tell about dark entities finding you when you're vulnerable and trying to inhabit you or possess you. I don't doubt the possibility of that happening, which is why I take steps to protect myself, especially while I sleep. I have my sage, my crystals, my moon water, my dogs, and I have a suspicion that my grandmother I never met watches over my siblings and I while we sleep. Kind of like she wasn't able to be there in life because of her illness, so her maternal duty in her afterlife is to look after us when we're our most vulnerable. At least that's what I believe. None of us can ever really be truly sure if my Aji, my paternal grandmother, wants to take care of us in her afterlife, but I welcome her warmth and protection. I have some more spooky, weird stories to share, but that was the one that was on top of mind lately. I love you ladies. Thank you for all that you do, your hard work, and for building this little corner of the internet for us to exist. You've done more for all of us than we can ever thank you for. But seriously, check out the Quinn app. I have a feeling that you'll like the Devil of Dublin. Thank me later. Lots of love and light, Ali.
I love sleep so much. If something disturbed my sleep, like a being, like it would destroy me. And my depression is opposite. It makes me, all I want to do is sleep. I think yours does that too.
Yes, but I was going to say how you said you hardly wanted to eat or like shower or brush your teeth. But when I am very depressed, I do not want to brush my teeth.
Yes.
I do not want to do anything. Like I will take a shower like every other day or every 2 days or something. But brushing my teeth, it is one thing that like, I don't know what it is, and it might be that's what I can control is I'm not going to do that, but like I have to leave the house or something like that. So my hair can't be this grease ball or whatever for me, but like I don't have to brush my teeth if I'm so in my feels and yeah. Like whatever.
Well, I think too, for you, like with your skin, you had to shower even yes. No matter what. You know, your yeah. depression state was like you had to, or it would just be worse.
That's so true.
Mine, I feel like, is washing my hair. And some of that is just like pure laziness. And even when I'm not in a depressive state, I'm like, no, I hadn't washed my hair in, you know, 10 days. Not really. It's never been that long. 7 days has been that long. But it's never, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't know. Freaking hate washing my hair. But thank you for sharing your mental health struggles with us. And I do like how you and one of the stories before said, like, you can't just share these stories with everybody, but it's like we found a niche group of people who appreciate the stories because they've lived it.
Yeah. And I think, you know how you said this has just been top of mind? I think it's probably because someone else needed to hear that.
True. Okay, the next one. A demon disguised itself as me. Hi, Donna and Carrie. This is Allie from Texas. For those keeping track, it's October 3rd. Before I get into it, I love listening to you guys. I'm from North Louisiana, currently live in Houston, so you guys really make me feel like I'm listening to some old friends from home telling stories. This long-ass story starts when my mom found out she was pregnant with me. She was supposed to be having an urgent hysterectomy. I was the surprise when they did the pre-op blood tests. The doctors had told her that it would be medically impossible for her to get pregnant. She argued with them, reminding them of what they had said to her. All the doctors could tell her was, ma'am, the only explanation I have is that baby shouldn't exist and it's a miracle. But being from Louisiana, it would have sounded like, ma'am, all I know is that youngin' ain't supposed to be. It's a dang miracle. LOL, sorry I had to. That's what she said. So I hope I did your accent justice. When I was around 2 years old, my parents became Christians, specifically members of the Assemblies of God, or AG. So I was raised in church there every time the doors open. I'm a preacher's kid, and my mom sang in the choir. Shortly after, they got intensely into intercessory prayer, praying in Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, and the supernatural. They don't like calling it that, but that is what angels, demons, praying in spirit, etc. are. They also began praying against and battling spirits. I have distinct memories of spiritual warfare, services, and Bible studies. A big part of the belief is that Satan sends his spirits to earth to torment man. I've seen exorcisms in the church as early as 6 years old. Sorry for the long intro, but it will help give context to this story. When I was about 5 years old, my mom had a friend who had half of her trailer curtained off, refusing to go in that area. When you approached the area, it felt very dark and freezing cold. One night, something happened that made a prayer group go over to her home and fight the demon there. My sister and I stayed home with our dad. Several hours later, my mom was still there, and a sound woke him up. And what looked exactly like 5-year-old me opened the bedroom door and walked around to his side of the bed. Thinking it was me, he asked what I wanted. Instead of answering him, he felt a hand cover his mouth and his nose, completely blocking his airways. Now, mind you, my little hand would not have been big enough to cover his nose and mouth. He started fighting and trying to remove the hand, but he was losing breath. All he could think to do was to say, Jesus. He fought to just whisper, Jesus. The hand loosened up and he could say Jesus louder until he was screaming. It was gone. He could breathe. The noise woke my sister and me up, and I ran into his room crying because I was a scared little shit who cried over everything and anything that was in the smallest way scary. Now, as an adult, it's probably not the best idea to expose kids to all of this. Anyway, he turned around and saw me at the door again. He almost passed out until he saw my sister walk up behind me. He put us back to sleep and was awake until mom got home. As soon as she got home, both of them started speaking 90 miles an hour, trying to say what happened to them. Dad ended up going first and told her everything that happened. Then mom told him that they had prayed for hours and hours and they finally felt like the demon was gone. Mom suddenly thought, wait, what time did this happen? He said, I think around 2:45. Mom's face paled. When they felt like the demon was gone, mom glanced at her watch and it was a little after 3. I have seen demons and spoken to the dead for as long as I can remember. I have had conversations with my grandmother, who passed away before I was born, stating details that there was no way I would know them. Even with all of what we experienced, mom can't wrap her head around me talking to the dead. She has said to me, I don't know how to feel about you. The Bible says, do not suffer a witch to live, but I know what you do is real. Also, the wonderful phrase, hate the sin, not the sinner. Seriously, who says that to their kid? So as a witchy preacher's kid, I have wondered why I was put on this earth all my life. These gifts didn't make any friends for me in the 90s in Louisiana. Why do I have the gifts I do, and what am I supposed to do with them? I'm here for a reason. My existence proves that, but damn if I know what it is. I might have some religious trauma to work through. Thank you for what you do and for being an old friend from home. Keep it weird and don't get scared, Allie.
Okay, can I just say I'm so glad you got this one because I would have done a terrible job. But yours is great. At the Cajun accent, I mean. Couldn't even say accent right, so there's that. But oh my God, when you said your dad freaked out at first seeing you and your sister there, I was like, could you imagine though? Like he really thought like, oh fuck, she's coming back. Like, what the fuck? Also, it makes sense that the demon would like resemble you, so he would let his guard down. And then, you know, the demon was trying to do what demons do. Oh God, just, that's terrifying.
Yep. I also don't understand how, because I was raised in like a Baptist Christian household too. And it's like, okay, you believe in like angels and demons, but not that somebody could speak to the dead or whatever. Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you, where do you draw the line then? Like a supernatural existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, why all the stuff that happened in the Bible is real with people being healed and all that, but it can't be now.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say, you said that you have religious trauma to work through. Carrie's working through hers.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, the last one. Hey, my favorite podcast host and all the creepsters listening. I have a few small, less detailed paranormal experiences I thought I'd share. I've had paranormal shit happen to me my entire life. When I was a small kid, it never scared me. Then as a teenager, I suddenly decided to be scared of it. And then in my 20s, I just sort of accepted it. And that's where I've been since. So these stories are random timelines, just whatever comes to mind. So here we go. Story one. A few months ago, I went to our local nursing home with one of my friends to visit her granny, who I also call granny since I've known her. She stayed asleep most of the time, which was expected, and since she didn't seem that she would be ready to wake anytime soon, my friend went to talk to the nurse and check on how she's been. So I stayed in the room with Granny while she was gone, and after sitting there a minute, I felt like someone was standing next to me. I ignored this feeling until I felt something pull on the sleeve of my shirt, just enough for the fabric to rebound and hit me. I wasn't sure who this was considering we were in a nursing home, and it gave me goosebumps. So I just simply but firmly said, please don't touch me. Funny or creepily enough, Granny responds with her eyes still shut, oh, I'm sorry, dear. I touched Granny's hand and told her I was talking to someone else, but she never responded or seemed to wake up. It was probably just a case of sleep talking, but it was eerie anyways. Story 2. I don't think I've told this before, but if I have, I'm sorry, I have a bad memory. I'm definitely the friend who will repeat a story. So I've always had trouble sleeping. It's hard to go to sleep and also to stay asleep. So once when I was living with my dad, I was asleep in my room, but of course woke up in the middle of the night. This time was different because I woke up with an uneasy feeling and it seemed like my sweet Demi dog was awake and feeling the same way. She started to growl while she was looking in the direction of my dresser that was on the right side of my bed, and specifically at the end where I had an old porcelain doll my dad had bought for me ages ago. She was standing on all fours just staring and growling at this doll. I calmed her down and told her it was okay. She calmed down and the uneasy feeling was gone. I did move the doll to the closet though because that was still creepy. Story 3. When I was a teenager, I was swimming at a friend's house when I went inside to get us something to drink. And just outside of the kitchen, I saw someone sitting on the living room couch watching TV. Last time I checked, no one else was home. Not really paying close attention anyways, I grabbed us a drink from the fridge. And when I closed the door, I instinctively looked into the living room again and no one was there and the TV was off. I ran out of there and refused to go back in there alone. Story 4, trigger warning, miscarriage. It's October 3rd while sending this, so infant loss and awareness is, of course, on the top of my mind. So unfortunately, I am 1 in 4 who lost their baby in an early miscarriage in June of this year or 2024 in case if we're out of the year by the time you read this. Honestly, there's a lot I could say about this, but to save time, I'll just say that when I saw those two pink lines, I instantly became something I've never been, which was a mother. And when I got the news via doctor and ultrasound that I had a missed or silent miscarriage, my status of being a mother never changed. I was still one, but just in a different way. Anyways, shortly after my miscarriage, I was at my brother's house visiting my mom and just surrounding myself with family, and their dog would not leave my side. He would just stare at spots around me, but never directly at me. And you'd see his eyes and his head bob around following something around me. My mom finally piped in that she thinks it's a spirit or spirits around me that the dogs were aware of. I considered if this was my baby or my granny who's always there for me in spirit during hard times, or maybe both. It makes me emotional just thinking about it. Story 5. Last one, I promise. I wanted to leave on a lighter note. So the other day, I was going back and forth between our camper and my boyfriend's office just getting some chores done. To set the scene, his office is attached to a large pole barn used for work equipment and other tools and whatnot for both his and his dad's businesses. Our camper that we are currently living in is parked right outside this barn. So anyways, I'm going back and forth and I go out to the back of the office into the barn area and I hear a soft but familiar voice of a woman say, "What are you doing?" I stop in my tracks and I look around the barn. It's a pretty large barn. They have to be able to fit things like dump trucks in there. And anyways, I see no one. And then I hear a giggle. So my eyes shoot around again. Well, it was my mother-in-law in the far corner of the barn. Her clothing kind of blended with the wall, so I didn't see her the first time. She said, "Have you been watching spooky stuff?" But I hadn't. I'm just blind, I guess. She said I put my hands up like I was going to fight someone. I told her I was thinking it was more like there was an intruder than something spooky. That's it for now. I hope y'all enjoyed a glimpse into what I consider just a normal part of my life. And remember, creep it real and don't get scared, J-Bob.
Your mother-in-law found out that you don't flight, you fight.
Uh-huh. Carrie would have screamed. I would have just been frozen in fear.
We were talking about that yesterday at lunch because we were saying, one of my sisters snaps and claps so loud. Like, it's the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, no, I scream loud.
Oh my God, do you?
Like, scary movie scream, scream loud.
But I love it because it is truly like a terrified scream. Like, Jennifer Love Hewitt could never. Also, we're very sorry for your loss.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for sharing that. But how you said that sounded like Cisco dumps in a truck. That was like what? That's my Donna moment for the day.
Uh-huh. Okay. Also, do you think your granny or like your friend's granny, who you called granny, do you think she actually touched you?
Yes, that's what I was thinking too when you were reading it. I was like, I wonder if old G-Money's the one that touched her.
She's like, oh, sorry, dear. I don't know why, but in my head, it kind of sounded like Mrs. Doubtfire.
But like, because she was like not doing good, right?
I'm granny? Guessing, because like you said, she didn't really wake up and all that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. See, I was picturing granny not doing so good, and she was just like kind of reaching out, you know?
Yeah.
Y'all were killing it this week.
Also, J-Bob was like, 2024, if you don't read it this year, and this is the last Sinister Sightings.
Of the year?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I literally said that earlier.
I know, but I still was just processing.
Oh, my God.
Well, y'all keep them coming in the new year so that we are not nervous. Send them in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.